Welcome to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We have the OUSA exec candidates for the role of finance and strategy officer, Dominic Cerealis and Troy Gibbons. Morena to you both. How are we doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very chill. How are
Good,
you, Dominic?
Good, thank
you. Cool. All right, we're going to run this thing now. We're going to start off by asking both of you to provide a intro no longer than 30 seconds. And I'll start with you, Dominic.
Yeah, so I'm Dominic Cerealis. I'm a second-year politics and classics major. I am running for FSO because I just want to sort of help students and get OUSA out of this sort of financial hole it's in, losing 670K last year. Yeah.
Cool, that's you. Well below 30 seconds, I love it. Efficient as a good finance officer should be. Going to you now, Troy.
Kia ora, everybody. My name's obviously Troy Gibbons. I'm a second year accounting PPE student and environmental management. I sit on four club execs, three as treasurer, one as secretary, and I'm a member of 10 others. I like to keep busy. My thing is just putting students back in OUSA, actually advocating for what you guys want. I'm not here to represent myself. I'm actually here to advocate for you and push forward.
Cool. Again, very efficient, below 30 seconds. I appreciate that. Politicians who talk less, I think, tend to get more favourability. Now, let's kind of start off this corridor with a light question. Who's a finance minister that you look up to? And I'll start with you, Troy.
I'd say Michael Cullen. He was the finance minister under Helen Clark. Yeah, so he was very, very good.
Was he also a Dunedinite?
Yeah, he was Dunedinite for a bit, and then he moved to Hawke's Bay.
Right. Okay, cool. And to you, Dominic.
I'm probably going to go with the boring answer, Grant Robertson. He did quite a lot under sort of COVID and stuff, all the really tough financial situation.
All the Nicola Willis lovers out there are not very happy with either of you, which is unfortunate. Looking to our first proper question. OUSA lost $680,000-ish last year. If we're already on a shoestring budget, how can you hope to make more money? Are we finding more revenue streams, or are we saving lots of money by cancelling projects or services? Starting with you, Dominic.
So I don't want to cut any student services. I do want to find other revenue streams, and I also want to try and increase the service level agreement, the money we get from the uni.
Troy?
I'd say, talking to both Daniel and Liam, both running on different platforms, they've both said to us that there's nothing to trim. There's no fat to trim. Mm-hmm. It will only affect vital services, so I'm taking a firm stance against cuts here and now. You can hold me accountable for that, guys. But yeah, finding different revenue streams and really reaching out to past Otago students. For example, our plan for the student bar is doing it through fundraising network like they did with clubs and socks in the 80s.
Looking at more revenue streams, you've both mentioned that. What could those look like? Another beer festival? Beer Festival 2.0? Starting with you, Troy?
Ah, I'd love another beer festival. I would support that wholeheartedly. But yeah, I think it's... Yeah, definitely a big push for donors to fund our projects. I mean, a student bar... Obviously, the capital cost at the start's expensive, but it'll bring in revenue as it goes on. So I think, relying on donations, because that's actually how they funded clubs and socks in the 80s. And dollar for dollar matching with the uni, because obviously they won't pay for the whole thing. They're pretty stingy, so.
I'm looking to you, Dominic.
So if we can find money for a student bar through fundraising, through uni support, that would definitely help us with money. The other thing would be looking at potentially other... uses for Planet Media, because that revenue's gone down a bit since sort of COVID because of online advertising, and if we could bring that up somehow.
Now, you both expressed a desire for a student bar right here, right now, and in your campaigns. Do you have any figures on what the costings for that might look like? And I'll start with you, Dominic.
I don't have any exact costings, but it would probably be... Actually, I don't know. I'd need to actually do a bit more research.
Troy?
The big cost is actually the building. I mean, setting up a student bar doesn't cost too much if you already have the building, and I think that's where we need to work with the uni. If there's an underutilized space that's in a good location, asking them if we can use it and maybe pay them some rent, it's the capital cost of finding a building. And also, I think keeping it affordable by sheer volume. I mean, we've all seen the line outside Pint Night. There is demand for it. And I think that's how we can keep it affordable for students and a safe drinking place.
Cool. Are there any immediate locations you're thinking of when you think of student bar? Like where nearby could be a good option?
There was one place which is probably not super feasible, but it could work, is that big boarding house across from the Marsh. because that's massive.
Oh, yeah. So I've been here for 6 years. I've never seen that rental sign go down.
No.
It's always up. No one's in that building. It's annoying. It's infuriating.
And it's massive. Mm. It would definitely be big enough for a student bar. Mm-hmm. It's just whether we can buy it off whoever owns it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say looking more central to uni, and one the university owns, is the Smithers Gym. It does get underutilised. You ask anyone in the PE school, even Unipol, it's not fit for purpose anymore.
Mm.
It's too small. It's old. So working with the uni, also working with Unipol to get them the old gym back that's already down by Forsyth Bar. So we're not actually reducing capacity for the stadium, but it allows them more centralised control anyway. So it works for everyone.
The one thing I'd say about that is it is used for exams, so the uni might not want to take it or give it away.
Yeah, that's what we're advocating for Unipol to... because there's a gym down there that's just furniture storage at the moment.
True. Dominic, I'm going to kind of focus on you for a second. You're campaigning on fiscal responsibility to ensure OUSA survival for decades, not years. Yeah. You're very clear about maintaining a fiscal sustainability. Under your campaign, wouldn't the student bar be a nice to have, not a necessity?
I think the student bar is probably required because it will give us the extra funding we need to get out of deficit. It's a big capital expense right now, but it is important to get our budget back into sort of positives.
Mm. But how can you offer students drinks at a low cost while also making that a financially viable business?
We would probably want to talk to the uni, see if we can get any sort of funding from them, but also just the sheer amount of students that want a bar, I'm sure we can work a way that it's cheap but also making OUSA a profit.
Okay. Truman, I'm going to focus on you for a second. You're part of Gen Screwed, correct?
That is correct.
Someone pointed out at the forum on, I think it was Monday, that Gen Screwed has ties to the Taxpayers Union. Should that be something you're transparent about when you're campaigning, and how can you assure voters that you won't say one thing while doing another?
I know. I was pretty transparent about that in the forum. I hope that came across that way.
Mm-hmm.
I am affiliated with Gen Screwed. I sit on the exec. I'm the secretary. Going into next year, I won't be sitting on it regardless. It's just I've really overworked myself in terms of all the clubs I've decided to pick up. But yeah, I think I've been very open and honest about my disagreements with Gen Screwed as well. And I think I've been very open and honest with my policies moving forward. For example, BDS. It's not a popular policy that's made me many friends, but I'm very strict on BDS and I won't take no for an answer on that.
Mm.
And I think it's just being completely honest with the student population.
Okay. Another thing I want to kind of drill on down with you is that a part of your messaging has been, vote for me, I'll protect OUSA's vital services. And you're insinuating that there's a lot of candidates who are wanting to cut these vital services. I spent like an hour yesterday just looking at different campaign posts. I can't actually see anyone saying they're going to do that. Who are you referencing when you're saying that?
Well, I'm just referencing the idea of fiscal responsibility as a whole.
Mm.
Everybody agrees we need efficient and smart spending. But also you look at when governments advocate for fiscal responsibility, they cut services that a lot of people rely on, especially in the welfare and equity space. And when you look at OUSA, there's types of discretionary funding and there's non-discretionary. So there's expenses we have to pay, and the expenses we don't have to pay are equity, are clubs funding. So that's the stuff that they actually can cut, and I don't want to see that.
Mm. Okay. As Dan Leamy has been well noted for saying, he's the current finance and strategy officer, BDS is apparently going to cost OUSA, given the sponsorships we'll be missing out on. I know we already asked this at the forum, but how will you navigate that scenario come next year?
Me?
We'll start with you, Dominic, actually.
Okay. So we definitely need a form of BDS. And I know what Daniel said at the SGM wasn't super popular, where we need to moderate it. But I think we need to find a workable solution that won't cost OUSA a ton of money. Like, it will definitely cost a little bit, but we can afford a bit of spending, a bit of lost revenue for BDS.
Okay.
Because it's important.
Trey?
Like I said in the forum, you can't put a dollar value on 600,000 dead. It's a genocide, and we need a plain simple come out and stand against it. And like I said, if you can't stand against a genocide, you can't really stand for anything.
Mm.
And I think we are looking at it, and I think from purely a balance sheet, but also if you look at everything that OUSA does from a balance sheet, things will be harmed. So we need to the social value of what we stand for.
Mm. And does that, I guess, cost pressure of BDS also increase your drive to find new revenue streams for next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Now, how will you prioritize professional over personal when it comes to decision making? A prominent theme in the forums is that people want an exec who can unite and be work and work together efficiently. How will you do that?
I've been very fortunate to talk to many different members of the current exec that disagree. I know I've met with Amy, I've met with Daniel, I've met with Liam, I've met with Jet, and even I've met with almost every other candidate running. And I think we've all got the same vision. And I want to make that clear. Everyone here has the same vision to fight for students, push forward. We just have different ways of going about it. But at the end of the day, we're all here for students. Mm-hmm. And I think that disagreement's also healthy. Everybody brings different perspectives, and I think that's part of the diversity of our cohort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's definitely a healthy amount of disagreement between all the candidates, but it's not too much. Like,
it's not dysfunction. That's the concern.
I don't think it will turn into dysfunction, because a lot of it will be trying to differentiate for the campaign rather than having these radically different policies where don't work together.
All of the candidates, we're all quite friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all get along really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I want to start with you, Dominic, for this next question. How do you interpret the strategy title of being the financial and strategy officer? It seems quite broad and vague.
Yeah, no, it is quite broad and vague. It's sort of the FSO's job is both to look after the finances and also just to help work with the rest of the exec to have this vision for OUSA as a whole and to help with all of the events and just where we want OUSA to be at the end of next year.
Mm. So how do you interpret that, and what is your strategy for putting OUSA in the best place possible aside from working in the financial sphere?
It'll be ideally a lot of advocacy, because this year there's sort of been a lack of advocacy, partially just because it seems like there's not been a lot done.
Mm.
And we just need to get back to a point where we're advocating for students a lot. And that's sort of, strategy.
Troy?
I'd say the strategy part is, a lot of people don't realize in the job description, the title description is that the finance and strategy officer is also meant to be one of the lead campaign planners. And I know we're heading into a general election next year. We can make meaningful change by pushing for things such as fairer fees on uni students, stopping tertiary cuts, advocating for Chloe Swarbrick's sanctions bill, like stuff like that. We can actually make a tangible difference. And so that's part of the strategies. Yeah, I'm going to stand up for what students want. I mean, obviously, I've got my own personal opinions, but at the end of the day, I'd be representing students and heading into local elections, advocating for a walkable Dunedin.
Mm. In the second quarter report, Dan Leamy noted that the quarter had been uneventful, not because people weren't doing their job, but because of excessive red tape and an executive that needs to act more boldly if it wants to help students. How will you challenge both of these forces if you find yourself in Dan's position next year, starting with you, Troy?
I think being really open with the critic. I think we've seen the executive's been a lot more accountable recently due to the critic really being open with their criticism. And I think that's actually made the exec act more boldly. And I think that's the big thing, is actually making us accountable to the students.
Mm-hmm. Maybe make those quarter reports more interesting to read as well.
Yeah. I can promise that.
They are depressing. Your turn, Dominic.
Yeah, so I think, we need to be more accountable, we need to continue sort of this openness with the critic.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing we need to do is whoever's FSO needs to work with whoever is AVP to try and potentially get rid of some of the red tape. Like, obviously you're not going to be able to get rid of all of it, but...
And some of it's there for a reason.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you can streamline it to a point where you still have checks and balances, but it's not so much red tape that you can actually do things in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because a year is not a long term.
No. Yeah.
Dominic and I definitely agree the constitution needs to be updated and fit for purpose.
Yeah.
Cool. Before we get to our outro, what would that fit for purpose rework look like?
I think just making it more accountable to the students. I mean, the Students Association's very old. We're one of the oldest student associations in the country. And even talking to the current AVP and even current members of the exec, there's so much restriction on actual student participation. The exec have a lot of power. There's a big disconnect. And so I think, it's just making us more accountable to the students. If students want to hold an SGM, making it easier for them. If students want to, making referendums actually mean something instead of just a recommendation.
And you'd agree with that, Dominic?
I'd agree with most of that. I think the only thing is we need to be careful with SGMs, because there have been times in the past where the student body has made OUSA spend millions just because they want to.
Really?
With the Aquatic Centre, I'm pretty sure that was just the Rowing club.
Classic. Those rowers, they get up early, they get the worm, and they're fierce advocates for what they believe in. All right, thank you for your corridor. We're going to go to our outro section. So we'll start with you, Dominic. You can give us a 30-second or less outro, starting now.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you should vote for me. I don't want to cut any student services. I want to increase funding. I want to just make OUSA thrive for past when I'm at uni. I want it for future generations even.
Cool. Yeah. And you, Troy?
Yeah, I'd say no matter who you vote for, actually make sure you vote. As a lot of you'll hear a lot of people say when it comes to local elections, if you don't vote, you can't complain. There's good candidates in every role running for every role. Every candidate brings their strengths. And so if you find someone that aligns with you, go out there, support them and vote for them and make sure your participation is there. I think you should vote for me based on my firm policies and my track record. But regardless, make sure you vote, please.
Cool. Awesome. And voting opens Monday at 9 a.m., I believe, and closes next Thursday. So
at 4.
At 4, yes. Do be sure to check your emails for that voting slip. We're going to play Monty.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.